What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I don't know what it is, but it's phenomenal.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
What, am I missing something?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The reality is, humans are humans are humans, and that's never going to end.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
It's a big, big deal.
Hello. You speak English, sir? Paula, who's dead English?
60% of the time, it works every time.
I've done the math on this. We've talked about it on this show before.
That's a fact.
If you learn a little something about yourself.
That's us, dude.
That's why we're radio shows.
That's right.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
Let's do this. Discussing issues that matter to you. Finding real answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now, here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Dan Muir with me today. Dan's back from Thanksgiving travels.
Oh, I got something for you.
What?
Oh my gosh,
Dan.
I forgot to give it to make sure it's
done. Really?
At least I hope I brought it.
A gift?
Gosh, yes.
Oh.
Because I know how you feel cheated all the time. Every time you go flying.
Oh, I do feel cheated.
You get cheated. And so here you
go.
Oh,
Dan.
The peanuts.
You are a stud.
From Southwest Airlines.
Thank you, Dan.
So just
by the way,
you,
these are great peanuts.
They are. They're the best peanuts ever.
And I wish we had on Facebook Live. I'd show everybody.
We should have had that on Facebook Live.
And, so there must have been no kid on the plane with allergies.
That's correct. And so, and just to, here, just to make it.
Oh, Dan.
You're all set.
You're a stud. I'm going to eat those, actually.
Oh, they're good.
I love their
They're really good. So, yeah. So I just, because every time you get on an airplane, you get cheated.
Pretty much.
You do. So there you go, John.
It gets kind of gypped.
For all the way from Southwest Airlines.
So tell me, how was the flying experience?
It was awful.
How did all that go?
It's absolutely awful. I mean, waiting for why? Okay, so why is it? You know, so you're ready to get out of the plane, right?
I am.
And you get up, you stand up, and then you wait for everybody else that didn't stand up and get up to get off the plane.
I know that bugs me.
Why don't they just let the rest of us get off real quick, and then they can take their time and do whatever it is they got to do to get off the airplane? Is that asking too much?
Hey, Charlie. I got that
we're
for
sending
you.
We're sending you smoke signals.
I sent you a text. So we'll see if we can get that dialed in.
Do you think smoke signals were ancient text messages?
Well, you know, that's kind of like the code talkers that Donald Trump was...
Donald Trump and Elizabeth Warren.
Going at it.
Yeah. Pocahontas. I love how he calls her Pocahontas.
I actually thought it was pretty funny. Now, the news media is, you know, they're all up in arms over it, but I thought it was actually kind of funny.
It is funny.
I thought he was funny.
I thought he was funny. And can you believe how they're going after his wife over the decorating of the White House? It looks beautiful.
Get a grip, folks.
It looks great.
What's wrong? What are they saying is wrong with
because
it?
There's no Mao this year.
There's no what?
Mao.
Mao.
You had the Mao bulbs last year, the communist bulbs. When President Obama was president.
So those aren't there anymore?
No, no Mao. Nothing communist. No red trees.
I got it.
Communist red trees.
Got it. Okay.
You know, no salutes to the little dictator that's shooting off missiles now.
Yeah, I think that's a holiday exchange program
ICBMs.
They have going on right now.
Yeah, that thing stayed up there for 50 minutes.
So it said
that can pretty much reach anywhere.
It's going to be the holiday exchange program from Trump and Mao.
Yeah. We're going to light up your world.
By Christmas, there'll be an exchange.
I just want to, who do you think wins this one?
Oh, gee, there's no contest.
No.
There just isn't. There's no contest.
This guy's a total moron.
He doesn't even, it's like, it's sort of like, see, how can I describe this? You just got done watching Thor, which I did as well.
Yeah, I enjoyed Thor.
So it's sort of like going up and kicking the Hulk.
Yeah, it doesn't turn out so well.
Am
for
I
you.
Right? Am
for
I right?
For the Hulk. Hulk, yo.
I mean, you know, it's just like, it's basically like kicking the Hulk.
Yeah.
When you're a little peon.
Yeah.
But it's not going to end well.
It's kind of like a Smurf going after the Hulk.
Got it.
It just isn't going to work.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come right back. Don't go anywhere, anybody. We have got affordable interest mortgage coming up next. Kurt Rogers, he would love to help you with any of your mortgage needs. 720-895-0500. He was on last night for the Monday Mortgage Minute. Lots of great programs out there that can help you with your down payment. I would encourage you, give Kurt a call. Find out how he can help you with home ownership and or moving up, moving down, downsizing, upsizing, whatever you need to do. Kurt is there for you. 720-895-0500. Tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Affordable interest mortgage still has rates in the mid-3s. Do that upgrade that you've been putting off, or pay off that high interest rate debt, or just get ready for the holidays. Purchase your next home with only 2% down and no mortgage insurance. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We all know rates are going to go up, so why keep putting it off when you can borrow money in the 3s? Do you know paying mortgage insurance is like adding 1.5% to your current rate without the tax deduction? Why? Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Call now and find out how to pay off your home faster, save over $100,000 in excess interest that you get to keep, all without changing one penny of your spending habits. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. VA loans to 100% with cash out in the low 3s. We've been serving Colorado since 2001, where it's all about you is not just our motto, it's who we are. Get the respect you deserve. Affordable interest mortgage, 720-895-0500. NMLS 298191, regulated by DORA, equal credit lender.
As a sales representative for AAA Solar, you won't need any high-pressure gimmicks to sell your product. AAA Solar doesn't make outrageous claims about their solar panels. They just take a straightforward approach, and their customers appreciate their integrity. This is the perfect job for KLZ listeners who may be technically retired but still want to earn some extra income. You can make as much as $50 per hour while setting your own work schedule. Call AAA Solar today at 303-975-4908 and ask about the job opening you heard on KLZ. 303-975-4908.
Group Insurance Analyst, Colorado's insurance superstore since 1984. Business, home, health, auto, Medicare, life, dental, and more. Compare and shop for all your insurance needs. Call today, 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Real quick, Dan, I've got the Pocahontas reference here ready. Okay. Do you want to hear it?
Hit it.
I'm going to play it. Charlie, you got me up? Here we go. Oh, hang on. I got to skip the ad. Hold on. I got to mute the ad for a minute. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Skip ad. I hate ads. Don't you? There we go.
No, I love ads.
You have especially very, very special people. You were here long before any of us were here. Although we have a representative in Congress who they say was here a long time ago. They call her Pocahontas. But you know what? I like you because you are special.
They call her Pocahontas.
What did she say she was? You know, 1/10 Blackfoot or something?
I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Cherokee people or something like that? I can't, you know.
Okay. Well, somebody wants to know what makes the Southwest peanuts so unique, because they're honey roasted. And you know what? I'm going to just open them up real quick.
Yeah, they're good.
Hang on. How do I open stuff with my teeth when you know everybody else has had their hands on it? That's kind of nasty, isn't it?
It is, but you know, it's.
See, these are the kind. If I had Facebook Live, I'd show you. But these have the little honey, you know, the little like candied around the outside of the peanut. They're delicious,
they
by
are.
The way.
They're really good.
I love Southwest peanuts. They're really, really good. Actually, I like flying Southwest. Period.
So you know, Southwest. Okay, other than you know, the fact that I forgot to get us checked in.
Well, that's not their fault.
No, that's not their fault. So we're like the last ones on the plane.
That sucks.
It did. It did.
I mean,
and then
really sucks.
No, it did, because we were like way.
Yeah, secret to Southwest is you want to be in like the at least in the A section or the early B section.
Yes.
When you line up.
Absolutely.
Now, you can pay $10 extra per person and it automatically checks you in, and you're pretty much guaranteed to be in pretty decent line.
Yeah, but I'm too cheap for that. So we always wait.
Yeah, for you to be 30
bucks. 24 hours right ahead of time.
Right at 24.
Right at. So we all.
You check
Except
in.
We forgot on the way home.
You check right at the 24-hour
mark. Completely blew it off.
I mean, like,
we were watching the Game Show Network when we were supposed to be checking in.
Ah.
See, we don't have cable or satellite.
There's the
home,
problem.
So we're sitting in the hotel room watching game shows.
Well, you screwed up there,
things.
Pal.
I did. I did. It was really
You should have
really
the old
bad.
Computer open or your cell phone open at least.
I think we were literally.
Literally what we do is you let it, like, countdown. Yeah. Five. Well, just like I did with that ad. 3, 2, 1. Hit the button, check in. Literally, that's what you do with Southwest.
Yeah,
unless you pay the $10.
Yeah,
that's
you
what you do.
I'm not going to pay the $10. But I literally think we were the last people standing in the Minneapolis terminal.
It's still the easiest
getting on the plane.
On and off a plane there is, period.
No, it is. And, just getting off just as frustrating. But we just went over
because
that.
People can't stink and get off the plane.
I know. Just move.
People, stand up. Okay, the minute the plane stops and the seatbelt sign goes off, stand up. It's that simple. Stand up. Literally. Stand up. Get your luggage out.
Yeah, and if you're already standing up, don't say, oh, would you like to go in front of me?
No, just get off the plane.
They'll get off eventually. Just
go.
Get the rest of us off the plane.
Hurry up.
But everybody's now all of a sudden everybody's polite. Oh, would you like to go in front of me? Oh, can I help you with that?
Just get off the stinking plane.
Go.
Here's my other pet peeve with flying, by the way, since we're on this subject. People that pack so much crap in their carry-on and it's too heavy for them to lift it up on their own to get it above the, carry-on bins. We're not on Facebook Live, so I can make whatever hand motions I want.
And I can look around like however I want.
Because it baffles me. It's like, wait a minute, time out. You're going to pack that much crap into your carry-on, and yet you can't lift it over your head to get it in the bin? That's your fault.
That's a heavy carry-on.
Yeah, you think? Some of these things are like bricks. I think people put bricks in these things because I've lifted some of them up for them. I'm like, whoa, what is in this thing? Holy camoli. By the way, where'd that come from? Holy camoli.
I don't know, but it sure ties things up, man. When you're...
You think? Yeah, pet peeve. I really... Now, I do like this. The way Southwest does the kids, maybe this is why I like Southwest so well. They let all of the A section go complete, totally. So they're frequent flyers, anybody that checks in early, pays the $10, whatever. Guess what?
You're on
first.
Yep.
The entire A section. So A1 to A whatever it is, 50. I think it is 50, right?
Yeah.
And because A1 to A50, you are on the plane. Now, if you're a family traveling with kids, you can get in line right in front of the B section, so you still get on early, but not like all the other people just got on. Which, frankly, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, because you're in the A section.
Yeah.
And you're on.
And if I'm in the A section, I was Johnny on the spot checking in, or I paid $10.
You paid $10.
And I went on, or you're a frequent flyer, and I went on early.
Yeah. So let's say this, because I usually don't do this. But okay, so let's say you're trying to be Johnny on the spot, but you miss it. Can you then pay the $10 and get on earlier, or do you have to pay the $10 before your 24
hours? I think you got to do that like it's your because there's only going to let so many people on early anyway. So I think you pretty much got to pay that $10 fairly early into the equation with Southwest, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but I think you do. Now, I'm also guessing, I don't know all the details, but I'm guessing that if you've got some sort of a frequent flyer number, use their credit card, blah, 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 maybe some of that comes automatically. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
But, $10 really isn't that steep of a price to pay.
I pay $10.
I would. And I wouldn't.
I do now. I didn't used to, but it's like $10.
I mean, I might now. After doing this, I might now.
It's $10. And you get on, and especially if it's a low fare to begin with, I'll pay the $10 for sure all day long.
After what we went through, because I forgot to, I think the $10 would be worth it.
Trust me, it is. Now, I don't need side note. Anyways, I like Southwest. I was going to say a few other things, but I like Southwest. A, because of the way they do the kid thing, the fact that there's no assigned seating. So really, you get on, you pick your seat, and if you want to sit in the front of the plane, sit in the middle seat real quick, and it's a short flight, and you don't mind, go for it. And you're by yourself, have at it. I've done that before at times. I don't like the middle seat, but man, if it's an hour and a half flight or so, I know I'm going to get someplace and I can be first off. I'll suck it up.
That would definitely be worth it.
Yeah, I'll suck it up and go in the front.
Absolutely.
All day long. Especially if there's like two skinny people there and I can just squeeze in there real easily. I'm like, yeah, I'm in. I'm in like Flynn. Let's go. I'll sit in the middle. I don't care. If I can be in the bulkhead in the middle, I'm in. I don't care. I'll take it. Especially if I get off the plane first.
Oh, yeah. Getting off the plane is a big thing.
Because that is the ticket. Now, the other ticket is that don't check luggage. Because if you check luggage, it doesn't really matter if you're first off or last off.
No, it doesn't. You can be the last off.
You're still going to all be in the same line waiting in the baggage at the baggage carousel. Doesn't make any difference there.
Yeah, all those people you rushed to beat off the plane.
It don't matter
at that
point.
Standing around you at the luggage carousel.
Okay, so while you were gone, the Broncos lost yet another game. Seven in a row.
So that's the worst losing streak since 1967.
Which you did some inflation math,
right? Well, I did, because somebody put this post on there, that a car cost X and, the gasoline was 33 cents a gallon and all that. But did you know that 33 cent a gallon gasoline actually cost 2% more of your income than it does today?
Yes, because gasoline really hasn't kept up with inflation like it used to.
Gasoline's cheaper today than it was.
It actually is. If you look at the cost of money in today's dollars, it's actually the cheapest.
And what people are making. And not only that, did you know that everybody's complaining about how high Denver rents are?
Okay.
Did you know that today they're 2% lower than they were in 1967?
In relation to our income.
In relation to our income.
You're kidding me.
No.
Ooh, that's good. That's good information, Dan.
I found that really interesting. And a car only costs 6% more than it did in 1967.
In relation to income, it's 6% more.
Yeah, that's right. But I'll tell you what, you're getting a lot more car today.
Oh, you think?
A lot more car.
From 67 to today?
Yeah. A lot more car.
There's like no comparison.
No, none whatsoever.
Okay, so here's the difference. You're paying 6% more for a car today that will undoubtedly, without even a lot of maintenance, go 150,000 miles. In 1967, you would have rebuilt the car twice to go 150,000 miles.
That is so true.
I'm not exaggerating.
No, you're absolutely right.
There's no way you could have done that. So when you look at the overall total cost of ownership today versus then, now the only thing we haven't factored in is insurance and license plates and things like that. But I'm guessing that's all pretty relative as well, I bet you.
I would guess. I mean, I didn't.
It's all relative to the price of the car.
I just ran these three things that they had posted on the Facebook post.
6% more for a car.
Yep.
And you're getting, I'm not exaggerating, Dan, 50% more value.
A ton more value. An absolute ton more value.
I mean, I'm not exaggerating. You can take a car, most any car today that you're buying new, and with very little upkeep, I mean, do the things you need to, good oil changes, rotations, align, the things that you need to do to really keep things maintained. You really, I shouldn't say this because it's not really the way you're supposed to do it, but if you didn't do much to that car, you get 125,000 to 150,000 miles out of it without too much trouble.
Yeah, what car back then would you have bought knowing you're going to put 50 to 100,000 miles a year on?
They didn't exist.
You couldn't do it.
That car didn't exist. I don't care what car. I don't care if you bought the most fancy luxury car made. They didn't last that long. Because guess what, Dan? This is something I know a lot of people are going to find this hard to believe and may not even know what I'm talking about. But old technicians will know what I'm just going to say. They actually had points back then. So in the ignition system itself, you had points and condensers. There was not electronic ignition in 1967. So every 6 months, you did a tune-up. Every 6,000 miles, you did a tune-up because points wouldn't last much longer than that. So every 6 months, it was in the shop, getting a tune-up. Plugs, cap, rotor, points, condenser, on and on we go. Every 6,000 miles. And you changed oil every 2 to 3. The car was in the shop a lot.
A lot.
Let's just say that.
Well, that's why you had to carry a toolbox.
Yeah, with extra belts and hoses and clamps and coolant and water and all sorts of stuff.
When's the last time you had to change a belt in a car? We were doing that all the time back in the day.
You don't. You know how good. You know how long a serpentine belt will last today?
Yeah, I have a pretty good idea.
80 to 100,000.
At least. I think that's at a minimum.
No, they will go 80 to 100,000.
Yeah, because.
Very easily.
You never have to change them.
Yeah. Everything today on that car, including the tires, will last longer than it did in 1967. So, yeah, to put everything in relative proportion, if the car itself is only 6% more, your overall savings from what it was back then, I guarantee you, even with the high price of cars, it's cheaper today, total cost of ownership, than it was in 67.
Yeah, but once again, in reality, these cars do not cost much more than they did back in 1967.
And I'm going to add this to it. In 67, I'm guessing the average fuel economy of a vehicle was around 12 miles to the gallon, 12 to 15 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. The operating costs were definitely high.
Now you're 30 miles to the gallon. So you're not only buying gas at less of the total ratio to your income today, you're actually buying less of it than you did then.
You know, thinking about this, if you bought a car today that had the standard options of a car in 1967, I'll bet you it's 6% less.
Well, probably overall, total. Yeah, probably is. I mean, I'm driving right now.
Just think about it. Just think about it. If you had hand-cranked windows, which is still some stripped-down cars, I think you can still get them.
No, not much anymore. Most everything's power now.
But if you bought a stripped-down car.
Okay, so I'm, just as an example,
Driving
a Hyundai Sonata this week. 2-liter turbo. The car's $20,000. That's it, $20,000. And, it's got cloth interior and so on. I mean, there's nothing super luxurious about this car, but that car, again, will run 150,000 miles plus.
A Hyundai Sonata with a turbo?
Yeah.
That's actually a nice car.
It's really that car. So I go to get on Parker, or I'm on Parker Road last night. Get off on the off ramp. The stupid little trigger lights on, which I hate, by the way. The stupid ramp lights are stupid, dumb. I hate those things. And I realize CDOT loves them because it throttles the traffic and all that. But I hate those stupid things. Wait, by the way, what's the law against running a red light on? Is that still like running a red light if you go past one of those?
I think it is.
I kind of did that last night.
Kind of.
Kind of. Well, I was trying to beat the guy next to me.
You either did or you didn't.
Well,
there's
so
no
I stopped.
Kind of.
I
you
stopped.
Can't be kind of pregnant.
Kind of rolled. And the guy next to me, so I'm rolling.
The California roll.
I'm not totally stopped, but I'm rolling. And I knew about when it was going to change. And the guy next to me, he was going to get on it. And I knew he was going to get on it. So I get on it. The tires are squealing on that
Sweet.
Sonata.
Sweet. Sweet.
And I'm zipping by him.
So if you didn't actually pass the light or the line, as long as you're rolling up to it.
No, this was after that. I hate those things. I do. I hate. What are those things called? Ramp lights? What are those stupid things called? Metering lights.
Metering lights.
I hate those things. They're so dumb.
They are.
Does it really help traffic when it's all said and done? I mean, there's a certain amount of cars getting ready to get on anyways. What difference does it make?
I don't know.
They claim it helps. Again, I'm not a traffic engineer, so I have no idea. But, you know, same traffic engineer will put a stoplight 50 yards from one another, too.
The only thing I like about it is if you punch it, you can beat the guy next to you.
That's the one thing I do. It's like a drag race.
It is.
It's a drag race onto the. It's a drag race onto the freeway. Am I right?
It's the one time you get to.
It is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is the one legitimate time you can race to the finish line, which is the freeway.
You know, speaking of that, finally, they're starting to patrol the freeways at night.
Oh.
So they're putting unmarked cars in certain hidden spots.
Why?
Going after these guys that are racing.
Oh, racing guys.
I'm telling you what, these guys will fly down the highway. I'm telling you, they're doing 120 or better.
Really?
In the middle of the night.
You're kidding me.
No, they're lying up. There was one night I got passed by 8 of them racing.
Good happens after midnight, Dan.
There were 8 of them racing, and they flew by me like I was sitting still.
Really? All right, Grandma's Handyman's coming up next. If you need some stuff done around the house, which right now a lot of you can use their service because either you don't have time or... You do have time, or, you know, here's the other thing that happens, and this is not to beat anybody up, Dan, but sometimes, you know, we get to the point in life, age-wise, where we're just like, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. I don't feel like it. I don't need to. I can make a phone call.
Yeah, I would say, John, that's my excuse.
So there you go. 303-693-3003. It's grandmashandyman.com. Call him now and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Grandma's Handyman Service specializes in home maintenance and repairs. All of our technicians are regular employees of Grandma's Handyman Service and are bonded, insured, and have passed a national background check. Grandma's Handyman has been helping Coloradans do the little jobs that need to get done for 13 years. And we serve the metro area, from Arvada to Castle Pines and Lakewood through Aurora. We're in the business of helping people. We offer a one-year warranty for our work and a senior discount. Don't leave your projects undone for another day. Call Grandma's Handyman to set up an appointment at 303-693-3003. That's 303-693-3003. Or find us online at grandmashandyman.com.
Welcome to Save Our Soldiers, an ongoing feature from the Crawford family and Crawford Broadcasting to inform veterans about opportunities and assistance programs in their area.
MakeTheConnection.net, a nationwide online community, connects veterans, their families and friends, and other supporters with resources and solutions for addressing the issues veterans face every day. For veterans, when you experience PTSD or other mental trauma, you will find someone who can keep you grounded and reassure you that you are not alone. For families, when your spouse struggles with depression and substance abuse after returning to civilian life, you'll find the words to start a conversation about seeking treatment. For supporters, when you've been in their shoes and know that sharing your story will help, you can reach out to individuals who will benefit from hearing how you conquered your own challenges. All you have to do is make that connection at MakeTheConnection.net.
Brian Murphy of Front Range Mortgage joins KLZ in supporting, saluting, and applauding U.S. veterans. For links to anything you've heard on SOS, visit 560thesource.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Looks like Jeff's going to join us for a minute here. So, Jeff, welcome. What's going on?
Well, I got to say hi to Dan.
Hey, Jeff.
Just so his head swells just a little bit more.
No, I appreciate that. And by the way, thank you for keeping my cars running for me.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, I was just going to chime in on that. When I first got into this business, doing transmissions. We were doing transmissions at 25 and 30,000 miles.
Yep.
Wow.
Now we're doing them at like 115, 160, 180,000 miles.
Wow. So you would have been doing my transmission twice a year.
And you wouldn't have been an Uber driver back then.
No.
They
didn't have cars that would have made it then.
Think about that. The technology wasn't there for even Uber to operate like it does today.
Well, no, taxis were in the shop, Jeff, you know this as well as I, every day.
Yeah.
Literally every day. They went in the shop every night for something.
Yeah.
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 I mean, cars, back then, if you owned a towing business, you were in good shape because you towed cars every day.
Yeah. That's why checkers were around for so long.
Yeah, and that's not the parts store, by the way. That's called the taxi cab checkers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
The Marathon or whatever it was that made them.
Yep, yep.
I mean, basically, and I think if I remember right, they were based off the 57 Chevy.
They were.
But I'll tell you what, those things were just about bulletproof.
Pretty much a tank. Yep. No, good stuff. Yep. Good stuff. Jeff, I got to run. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Jeff.
Just squeeze one more in before our next guest. Warren is up next. Warren, welcome.
Brothers, how you doing?
Doing good, sir.
Good, Warren. How you doing, man?
Hey, Dan, it's good to hear you back.
It's good to be back. Thank you.
It's always good to be back.
I'm sure it is. Hey, just a great segment on the feminist program.
Oh, thank you. Good stuff, Warren. Yeah. Yep, good stuff.
And I'm just an old Wesleyan boy. But I got to tell you, I'm really surprised at all the denominations anymore that only teach the New Testament. They don't want to touch the Old Testament.
That's a fact. You're right, Warren.
And I think that's part of our downfall.
I would agree with you.
I agree.
100%, Warren. Totally agree. Yep, we're missing the boat on that.
Quick comment, that's all.
Thanks, Warren. Appreciate it very much. Love you, man. Really appreciate you listening and all your faithfulness to us. Our next guest coming up now, Don Mazzella. Don, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you, sir?
Good. And yourselves?
We're doing very well. You are the COO and publisher at Information Strategies, Inc., and for the past decade, you've been the editorial director of Small Business Digest. I'm a small business owner. Thanks, Don, for joining us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. All right, churches selling marijuana. Talk to us about this.
Well, in a couple of churches in California, police have discovered they've been selling weed or marijuana right out the door. And they closed them down. For how long is going to be an open question, because they've gone to court to get the proper licenses. But what I think is interesting about it, and what I think makes a story, is the fact that they are churches. And they are, in effect, selling what just a few short months ago was considered an illegal narcotic. But now they feel strongly that if there's a way to make money to keep the churches open, which is what they claimed, this is the way to do it.
These aren't like your regular, average, everyday church, are they? Are they, Don?
Well,
I mean, is this the Church of Marijuana?
Well, they were operating in the Bay Area for years. I don't want to characterize them as anything. They had a nonprofit status, and they were operating as church institutions. They just decided, if my information is correct, and it's interesting. The story after it first broke, and then there's been a kind of a blackout about it because subsequent. But the thing about it is that they are churches. They were doing it. They were nonprofit, and they were using the proceeds to keep the churches going. It might be an interesting sideline for churches, particularly in this era where church financing is becoming a greater and greater problem.
Good
but
point.
Certainly the police didn't think so. But in my view, and the reason I think you're on the show, is it is a omen for what's going to happen in the future. There's no reason why a church, if it's legalized in California, as to the extent it is, you're in Colorado,
yes,
where it's You know, if you come to think about it, why shouldn't the church be able to sell marijuana if they're legally licensed?
We have a church here in, well, I don't know if they sell it, but we have a church in Colorado that essentially is for people that like the 420 crowd, let's just say, like to show up on a, and let's just say this is an atheist church, so this isn't anything where there's any kind of Bible preaching going on or anything along those lines, but they assemble, they come, they do their thing, they smoke their pot, whatever, you know, whatever's involved with all of that, Don, and essentially they've gotten some nonprofit status because of them being a quote-unquote church.
Are they selling, or are they just providing a place to?
They are in this particular case. They are just providing a place because I believe our laws, and Charlie and Dan would have to correct me on this, but I believe in Colorado, our laws are such that you cannot smoke it in the same place you would be buying it in. There are particular places that you can go smoke it. You can't smoke in certain places in public, and to my knowledge, I don't think you can smoke where you buy.
Well, in the case of the California churches, they weren't encouraging people to light up there. They were just selling it to make a profit. And make no mistake about it, marijuana is a very profitable. A product.
Yes.
You know, I sit on a nonprofit board for medical marijuana here in New Jersey. And I've, over the last 5 years, learned an awful lot about the economics of marijuana. And quite frankly, it's a very profitable operation if you can find a way to bank it. The problem is it's very difficult to find a bank that will accept your deposits. And it's ironic in the case of the two California churches, how they were discovered was in a routine audit, realized all of a sudden they were making an awful lot of money, and the police cracked down on them. You know, it's a pretty permissive place out there in Oakland.
You know, Don, that's a really interesting thing. I'm wondering, could a church here do a bake sale of marijuana goods?
I don't know why you couldn't. Well, you'd have to have a license. Back to Don's point a moment ago, you'd have to be licensed to sell marijuana, which there is an extensive process in Colorado, Don, to do such. But I guess to your point, Don, if a church was licensed legally to sell it, legally speaking, there's nothing you can do about it.
No, but these two churches were not legally licensed, and they are going to court to get licenses to sell it. But the point is, in this country, up until a few months ago, marijuana for any purpose was really illegal, and it's still a Class A illegal drug on the federal level. And here are churches which are supposed to be teaching against sin and transgressions are openly selling it. Or in your case, Colorado, smoking it. It kind of indicates how the world's changing. All I know is my mother is turning over in her grave for me being on a marijuana board if I didn't believe in the medical side of marijuana.
Right. Yeah, and again, here in Colorado, we've seen, you know, the good. I'll just say it this way, Don. We've seen the good, the bad, the ugly of it, and I'm sort of like you. I mean, I believe there are some medicinal purposes with it, especially for folks that have, you know, terminal illnesses where, you know, getting a prescription, morphine, all those different things, frankly, and in those particular cases, you know, using medical marijuana is much better for them in those cases than the alternative. And there are definitely cases, even with some young children, where the medical marijuana side of the fence, they've made huge inroads when it comes to pain management and things along those lines. And frankly, Don, I have no problem with that. I will say, though, I have a problem with people just going down and buying it recreationally.
Well, there's much to be said on both sides. We face here in New Jersey the idea that our new governor, when he comes into power, in the first 90 days, wants to make recreational marijuana legal. And we're running pell-mell towards that.
Well, you know, but Don, if you live in New Jersey, it might be a good thing.
Just saying, Dan?
Just saying. I mean, you know.
Well, and again, Don, there's the negative side effects. And you know us in Colorado and some of the things that we've been through, even with our own real estate and things along those lines. I mean, there is literally in this area no warehouse space hardly left. In fact, they're putting up warehouse space as we speak right and left because all of the – basically all the growers have taken up the majority of the warehouse space that's been open because that's how they grow it.
Mm-hmm. It is. We our facility is in the former Trump hotel staging area in just outside of Atlantic City, and well, in our case, we have a surplus of space. But once the governor passed the law, I suspect we'll have the same problems you have. Economically, that's good. But think of it this way. You're taking money out of the economy that's going to literally go up in smoke.
No, that's a good point. Oh, I didn't think about that. No, that's a good point, Don. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Now there are – now, and again, we could talk literally probably for the rest of the hour when it comes to some of the economic sides of the fence. I mean, here in Colorado, our economy has done fairly well. Is that all because of marijuana? I would say – there's a portion of our economy that you could attribute to what's been going on in the marijuana end of things, but it's not the only thing that's driving our economy here in Colorado.
No. And you've been very fortunate. You've been a bellwether, and you're pointing the way for other states. California, if I'm not mistaken, is liberalizing its laws as we speak, and these two churches are taking advantage of it. But to me, what's really important about it is they are, in effect, breaking down the mores against the recreational marijuana, just as I always compare it to what happened with Prohibition. When it went into effect, it made everybody lawbreakers, and when it was finally repealed, liquor was considered non-addictive and non-threatening, and we've had a drinking problem in this country ever since.
Can't argue that one. Really can't.
You know, there's good and bad for medical recreation. For marijuana, I sit on the board because I feel there are over 600 strains of marijuana, and there are a lot of them. It wouldn't be around for so long, 4,000 years, if people hadn't discovered the beneficial sides of it, which there are many. We had I did a video for our facility, in which we had a NFL quarterback say that he became a patient because it eased all, he was a former quarterback, it eased the pain from his playing days, and it made him better. And we've seen children it makes better. So there's much good to be said for marijuana. We just need to figure ways to balance everything.
Great point. Don, I appreciate it very much. Again, CEO and publisher at Information Strategies, Inc., and for the past decade has been an editorial director of Small Business Digest. Don, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. And do you have a website? Can folks find you somewhere on the web?
Sure. Recalculating.biz is the best spot. That's where our show is and everything else.
Okay, great.
Recalculating.biz.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate it very much. Have a fantastic evening. Let's do this. Colorado Select Auto Care is coming up next. You just heard Jeff, one of our fine members from there, talking about vehicles and how long they last and all those different things. And even though, Dan,
yes, sir,
they're only 6% higher than they used to be, you still got to maintain them.
Oh, absolutely.
And we talked about how much longer they'll last and all of that. And that is all true. But the reality is if you maintain one and do it properly, I don't think I'm going out on a limb and saying this. If you take a new car, even a car that's within 5 years of age, maintain it, take care of it properly, I'm not sure you can wear it out.
I think you're right. You know, I had a Honda Civic.
Okay.
that actually kept the motor running. The body was destroyed, but the motor kept. I made sure that thing was over a quarter of a million miles.
There you go. And they're better now than they used to be. So keep that vehicle maintained in full working order. ColoradoSelect.com is where you go to find a place near you. And please, when you do, tell them you heard them on Rush to Reason.
Fact. When the car radio was introduced, many U.S. states wanted to ban them, arguing that it would distract drivers and cause accidents. Fact. In the early 20th century, horses caused so much pollution with their poop that cars were considered the green alternative. And fact. About 90% of people choose their auto repair shop because it's closest to their home or work. The last fact is unfortunate because it's not the best way to choose the person that you're supposed to trust to repair and maintain your car. At ColoradoSelect.com, you'll find a group of hand-picked member shops whose main goal is to provide exceptional customer service at affordable prices. So you may not know that in Russia, it's a criminal offense to drive around in a dirty car, or that the highest recorded mileage on one vehicle is 2,850,000 miles. But now you do know that when it's time to find a mechanic that you can trust, all you need is ColoradoSelect.com. Keep your car on the road. Select the best at Colorado Select.
Are you buying your first home? Or are you right-sizing or downsizing for lower maintenance or a lock-and-leave lifestyle? This is Pamela Meyer of Denver Home Navigators with Keller Williams. I can help you discover and reach those goals. This is more than just real estate. It's about your life and your dreams. Call me today for your free consultation at 303-506-0106.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. So one of the things that's been coming up here of late, Dan, is some controversy around people that have a medical marijuana license card and yet want to go buy a gun. So they're licensed to have this medical marijuana card, yet when they go to buy a gun, it shows up that they've got the card and they're denied buying a gun. Thoughts?
Because
nothing keeps somebody from buying it that already owns a gun from going and having recreational marijuana. So the two sides would be this. One side would say, I see no issues with it because John, who already has guns and doesn't have a medical marijuana card, can go down to any pot shop, recreational pot shop, buy pot, smoke it, eat it, do whatever.
That's true.
And off you go. But if I have a card that says I've got a prescription for medical marijuana, I cannot now buy a gun.
Is there any way to get rid of your prescription card for medical marijuana?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know either. I mean, do they? Charlie said they expire. Do they expire? Then does it come off the registry? Can you then pass the background check?
These are great questions.
You know, and even more today, it's almost the same as like saying that people that have full liquor cabinets can't buy guns.
Yeah.
Anymore. I mean, it's almost getting to be that point with the marijuana stuff. And actually, even before it was legalized here in Colorado, a lot of people probably had the marijuana anyway. Probably had the guns, had the marijuana, had the liquor cabinet full. And once again, this is kind of like the marijuana loophole. So if you have the marijuana card, you can't get the gun. However, if you get rid of the card, then you can have the gun, but you can still go out of the store and buy the marijuana.
Right. So when you say it that way, it really makes it sound stupid that we don't allow people with a card to buy a gun.
It really does. It really is kind of stupid.
Because
it's federal and it's against the law federally, the feds are going to do whatever they can to stop you.
Because you have a card that says you can actually go and buy marijuana, they're now not going to let you buy a gun.
But also keep in mind that for the most part, politicians do not want you to have guns. So anytime they can find a way to keep you from buying a gun, they're going to.
I would agree with that as
well. So that's why I am just basically opposed to laws that prevent people from buying guns.
Oh, I am too. You know my feelings on
that. Yeah, so for me, I think it's kind of silly.
Yeah, I mean, I understand both sides. I don't agree with both sides because, like you, maybe you're somebody that, you know, let's use the football player Don was just talking about a moment ago. Maybe somebody had an old injury, and rather than pump up on morphine or oxycodone or some of these other addictive drugs that we already know from talking to Steve House and others really get addictive and can kill you, instead he smokes a joint every now and then to control his pain. Or has a brownie.
There's lots of ways to do it.
So he has a brownie to take care of his pain. But because he has a medical marijuana card that says he can use that for his pain, he now can't buy a gun. Yet, if he went and got a prescription for oxycodone from his doctor, or morphine even for that matter, he can go buy a gun.
He can still go buy a gun.
That's not right. That one I don't agree with. That's crap, actually.
Yeah. So I don't know. So I guess I'm saying no. I don't like that, the fact that you can't buy a gun if you have the prescription.
And after talking through this the way we just have, I would agree with everything we just said. Because the reality is, there's always a way around it anyways. And we're not a limit. And here's the other thing. What about the functioning alcoholic?
Well, exactly. And there's plenty of those out there.
Which, by the way, I was just going to say, they exist all over the place. So what about the functioning alcoholic that has a CCW permit?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they exist as well.
A lot of them.
I've known some.
A lot of them.
Now, just because you're functioning drunk doesn't mean you can't shoot straight. I'm not saying that.
Some of them actually shoot better.
They may, exactly. But point being, because alcohol, Charlie was talking about this at the top of, you know, at the break, I should say, because alcohol is not a quote-unquote controlled substance, it doesn't even make it on the list. So you can go buy as much alcohol as you want and still go buy a gun. You could actually go to the liquor store and buy a fifth of whiskey, a case of beer, whatever else you want, or the keg for that matter, have it in the back of the car and go next door and buy a gun.
Yes.
No problem.
No problem.
But if the pot shop was next door and you had not even the pot shop next door, if you just have a medical marijuana card, you're not buying the gun.
Yeah, but let's go back to your earlier scenario. If the feds could figure out a way that if you had alcohol and you couldn't buy a gun, they'd figure it out. Because they don't want you to have guns.
It is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, by the way.
Why is it that?
Just reminding you.
Did somebody just get drunk one day?
I don't know. It is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And how those all go together, I have no idea. I think some of that comes from the mobster days, I believe.
No, it's got to. It's got Prohibition days.
I think it does. All right, so we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Front Range Mortgage, if you've got a home that actually needs some work done on it, you need Grandma's handyman to show up, you need to spend some money, but you don't have it to spend, Brian Murphy can get you a scratch and dent mortgage where he can get you all fixed up, get the home reevaluated, reappraised, handled, done, get you a loan, all one fell swoop. 303-500-1900 is the phone number. Give him a call today, and when you do, tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Brian Murphy here with another mortgage solution that may help you or a loved one. Many Colorado homeowners have recently been stopped from completing a refinance as their home was discovered to have items in need of repair. Most lenders will stop these loans from closing unless the homeowners pay thousands in home repairs out of their own pocket before they're allowed to close the loan. This is a terrible catch-22 as most people can't afford these home repairs until after the loan closes. We have a solution. At Front Range Mortgage, we have a rare mortgage program that can allow you to complete your refinance even if your home has no known items in need of repair, allowing you to complete these repairs after you close using the loan proceeds. If your home has items in need of repair, or if you've already been turned down by another lender, call me and my local team for a painless 5-minute conversation to get you closed your home as is and get you the money you need to repair and renovate your home. Our number, 303-500-1900. That's 303-500-1900, or visit frontrangemortgage.com.
NMLS number 378844, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, John Rush, Dan Muir.
Okay, so I got a text from a listener that says, the thing of it is, there is marijuana available that doesn't make you high, and that is what children use for seizures and what their friend uses.
Got it.
And so they can take that kind of marijuana and be pain-free, but it doesn't make you high. But that's still regulated to where you can't then go and buy a gun or whatever. So, but like you were saying, you go buy the oxycodone, what are these drugs that everybody's all upset about now? You can buy any of those, be prescribed any of those, and still go buy a firearm.
You can, and my son Richard is saying, should we have stricter laws to buy a gun as compared to buying a car? I would say no, because we have a Second Amendment right to buy and own a gun. Whereas a car, I still think driving is a privilege. Kerry, you're up next. What's going on?
That's what I'm doing.
Well, you're buying a gun?
Is this Rush?
It is.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not buying a gun. I just bought one, and I've had a medical marijuana card for like 7 years.
Okay. Any hassles when you went to buy it, Kerry?
No, because I can't buy one on the market, you know, I have to buy it, you know, from a private party.
Private sale. Stuff. Got it.
And I can't understand, like you were talking about before, why people, when they're alcoholics and drug addicts out there that can legally buy these things, what it comes down to, I've got a lot of debilitated diseases. I've got nerve damage in my back. I've got arthritis in my arms, my shoulders, my wrist. I just don't understand why they do not allow us to buy guns, you know, just to keep our family safe. I have four kids.
Right.
And what's your response on that?
Well, I mean, it's some of the things we just talked about a little bit ago, Carrie. You know, the reality is, you know, you could go down and buy recreational marijuana, get rid of your card, thereby be legal to buy a gun, but nothing in your world has changed.
Exactly.
So, frankly, I don't understand the law, to be honest with you. I don't feel like it's a – and with that, Carrie, I got to roam our top of the hour break here. But, yeah, I mean, I think Carrie's proven the point. And here's the other thing Carrie just proved. You can avoid all the gun laws and still buy a gun. It's not that tough, folks. Just like people have been buying marijuana all these years, it's not that tough.
No, the guns are out there, and they're not going anywhere.
No, there's 320-plus million of them, and 200 more thousand were sold last Friday. So – they keep stacking up, folks.
Yeah,
it's not that big a deal. We'll come right back. Hour number three is coming up next. John Rushdam, you are Charlie Grimes, our engineer. We'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.